morning. Can you hear me? Wonderful. Hi, my name is Lauren Schaefer. I have been coming to New Hope Church for almost 11 years. And by request of Shelly Steckel, I have brought a family photo. Because she doesn't like it if you come up without a family photo. So that's James and I. We have two boys, ages 3 and 6. You may have seen them running around the church, trying to take your knees out. So just be careful. Watch out. I want to share a little story from our family a few weeks ago. We were having breakfast. We were making toast, and we got distracted, lost track of time, burnt all the toast. And so James was doing a really good job of giving our kids the nicest looking pieces, and then me, and then he got the one that was just obliterated. And our older son noticed, and he said, "Dad, how come you always get the worst pieces?" Because this is true in a lot of things. And James said, "Well, buddy, I love you guys, and that's one way that I show it, is I take the worst piece so you can have the nice piece." And that's something that I want to talk about today, putting love into action, into deeds. James said the story makes him look too good, so you should know that we also hide the good desserts away from the rest of our family, so there's balance in that. As Kevin mentioned, we're in the middle of the Faith on Film series. I really, really love this series. We do it every summer. One, it's just a fun way to look at biblical truths from a new perspective. It's also looking at them in a way that Jesus taught. Jesus used a lot of stories and parables that related to his audience and the things of their time to help teach them. And we just happen to be using modern-day parables in the form of pop culture films. I also think that it gives us some creative ideas for talking to friends and neighbors and sharing our faith, instead of always starting a conversation with what's your spiritual background. You can just share with them a TV show or movie that you've both seen and ask questions about, did you think that character was relatable? What would you have done? Have you ever felt overlooked the way that Sky felt overlooked? And that's a great way to also open up conversations with others and share with them what we're learning here. So this week's movie is Paw Patrol, The Mighty Pups. Who was able to watch the movie? Okay, I assume that means most of you did not, who did not watch the movie. Yeah, okay, that's fine. You'll have to do your best to follow along. I asked the kids in our Connect group, who have definitely seen this movie multiple times, if they saw any similarity between the Paw Patrol and what they're learning about God and the Bible. And they told me that Ryder is just like Jesus, and the pups are like his disciples, and they go out on missions and help people together. And I thought that was beautiful. Like, that's a great answer. They're trying to make connections between what they're learning about God in the Bible and what they're seeing in other places. And I thought that was a really sweet answer. Research actually, some research shows that kids can learn better what they're watching on a TV show if an adult watches with them, and then if they're asked questions about what they saw and what would you have done in that situation. It helps them reflect on what they've seen, and it helps them to be able to even identify what was good behavior to model after and bad behavior to model after. And I think that, to be honest, this is just helpful for all of us to reflect on the content we're consuming and say, what did I get out of that? What would I have done in that situation? So I chose Paw Patrol The Mighty Pups because, one, it's very relevant to our lives. We have seen it many times in my house. And two, genuinely, there was a scene in the movie that really struck me, and I kept thinking, how would I have done that? How would I have handled that situation? And that's what I wanted to talk about today. First, we need to start by getting to know our pups. For those of you who have not seen the movie, the Paw Patrol is a team of the original six talking puppy dogs who all have a specialized skill. One's a police dog, one's a fire dog, one's a construction worker, and they all perform life-saving rescues for the humans in their town using incredible pieces of technology. And it just so happens that these talking dogs can also drive very large vehicles, including fire trucks, motorcycles, helicopters, and jets. If you have not seen the movie, you may need to suspend your disbelief a number of times over today until you're ready to fully immerse yourself in the Paw Patrol world. When we meet our pups in this movie, they are now experienced first responders. They're a team of seven working in the big city called Adventure City. And a crisis happens when a villain using a superpowered magnet pulls a meteorite out of the sky and it crashes into Adventure City. And the meteorite is emitting some kind of weird energy, some kind of superpower. And we'll see that the pups gain superpowers from this meteorite. So in our first clip today, we'll get to see how the pups get their superpowers.
See what this thing can really do.
What's going on? Is everybody okay?
I think I've got superpowers.
Superpowers. We used to think of big budget Hollywood movies starring overpaid celebrities wearing tights. But now we know superpowers are real. And the fluffy little doggies who got them called themselves the Mighty Pups.
Help! We're coming out on top. You'll never break this crew, cause we will never stop. No matter what you do, we're coming out on top. You'll never break this crew, cause we will never stop. It isn't going down like that.
They got new powers, new uniforms, and new merchandise. To all the parents out there, I'm sorry.
All right, the pups now each have their own crystal that attaches to their dog tags and gives them superpowers. And it also powers their super suits, and it also powers their super vehicles. And that's why they decided to change their name to the Mighty Pups. So they are the Mighty Pups now. And you can see in the newsreel that everything is going really well for them. They're taking care of the whole town. They're saving everybody. And then disaster strikes. The Paw Patrol team is tricked by two villains, Victoria Vance and Mayor Humdinger. And the villains lure the Paw Patrol into a fake emergency and then steal Skye's crystal. So Skye, who's the pink pup, everybody's wearing pink today, I don't know if you've noticed, but Skye, the pink pup, she loses her crystal and she loses her superpowers. And this is just absolutely devastating to her. She's very upset by this. And additionally, now everyone's very concerned about what can a supervillain do with these powers. So Ryder, our tech-savvy leader of the Mighty Pups, he sets up a device to scan the city and track down the missing crystal. And Skye is just desperate to take matters into her own hands. So we're going to see how she handles that and fights off the first villain, Victoria Vance. So we're just going to go straight back into another clip.
Energy signature detected. Energy signature detected.
My crystal! If I'm gonna get my crystal back, I'm gonna need all the power I can get.
Predictable.
Let me out of here!
Not so super inside a force field, are ya? Don't feel bad for losing. People have been underestimating me my entire life. Thanks for the crystals, though.
Honestly thought this was the most shocking and jaw-dropping scene because Skye takes all the crystals from all of the other pups. And then to make it worse, she loses them to Victoria Vance. And so today I want to look at a story in the Bible about somebody who also takes what they wanted and then loses it all. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 15, and I'm actually going to read the first three verses. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 11. And I did not coordinate. I pulled a different translation than what's on the slide. So what I read will be a little different. Verse 1. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them a story. And then a second story. And to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years, I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found.'" I find it really interesting that Jesus tells this story in response to being criticized for socializing with sinners. Now, I always get a little cringy when we talk about sinners, especially when you imagine the Pharisees like pointing and calling names, because we don't call names. But I think something that's important to keep in mind that we know about this story is that with the exception of Jesus, everyone is a sinner. Every human is imperfect. We all fall short of the perfection of Christ. And so in this story, everyone is a sinner. The difference is that the Pharisees have created a very good, shiny outside reputation, and the people that they're criticizing have not. These are people who are maybe living in a way that the church doesn't like, or they've made a very big public mistake, or maybe they've cultivated a bad reputation. We don't know. But no matter what, Christ was not embarrassed to socialize with them. He tells the story of the prodigal son who took his inheritance and lost it all. And I always think, how different would this story be if the son took his inheritance and invested it in a startup business in his friend's garage and grew that business to a multi-million dollar company and then returned home decades later to return the money and reconcile with his dad? It'd be a totally different story, right? It would just be a story about somebody who's rude to their family. It's very different when you think of the son who has lost it all, who's walking home barefoot, hungry, dirty, past neighbors and friends who can see very public mistakes that he's lost everything and that he's coming home embarrassed and ashamed. And we see at the end of the story that the older brother is very angry about the celebration for the younger son, right? And I often think that if I weren't playing the role of the younger brother, which I have done many times in my life, then I know that I would very quickly jump into the role of the older brother. hands down. I work in marketing and communications, and in 2020, at the start of COVID, our marketing team decided to start hosting weekly webinars, sometimes twice a week for our customers. Everyone was figuring out work from home, stay-at-home orders. A lot of the institutions that we work with had closed, and so our customers needed some extra stuff to do, and so we were hosting webinars. And it was my job to coordinate all the logistics. I owned the Zoom account, I bought the webinar license, I scheduled everything, I was the MC for the webinars, I would say thank you for joining today, please type your questions into the chat. And we shared this account with a number of people, including a team of ours in Australia, who also hosted webinars for our customers, but in their time zone, right? So often at like 7, 8 o'clock at night, and we never ran into any conflicts. But one evening, I was walking my dog, and I started getting messages from the team in Australia that they were 10 minutes away from hosting customers on a webinar, and they couldn't log in because it said the account was already in use. And so what we figured out was that a team member of mine in Syracuse had been using our company Zoom account to host a happy hour for her friends every Wednesday night. Now, to be fair, those early months of COVID were awful for absolutely everyone. And we all learned very quickly that the free accounts log you out after 45 minutes. So if you want to host a nice virtual meetup with the friends that you're missing, you need a paid account. And nobody ever would have known she was doing this if not for the conflict with the team in Australia. And so within 10 minutes, we fixed it. Everybody logged in. It really wasn't a big deal in the grand scheme of things, except that I felt so angry about it for weeks. I could not let it go. How unprofessional of her. How irresponsible of her. How selfish. How dare she take something that I am in charge of stewarding and use it without asking for permission. I could not let it go. And so I know that if that's how I feel about a really silly Zoom account that doesn't matter, I know that if I had superpowers, if I could fly, if I could run as fast as the Flash, and you stole my crystal while I was sleeping, I would be angry. I would be really angry. And I think that the pups would be justified in being angry too, that somebody just took all of their superpowers. So if you think about how might the pups respond to this, I can imagine them coming out in the morning and saying, "It's not fair. I'm never playing with Sky again. I'm telling Ryder about this," right? That would be totally justifiable. And then you think about Ryder. How might Ryder respond to this situation? Does Ryder need to give very clear consequences in front of the whole group so we know that stealing superpowers is serious? Does he call the newspapers and tell them a member of the Paw Patrol has gone rogue and we need help finding her? Does he call Mayor Goodway and does he say, I don't know what to do with this Sky. She did this thing and I don't know what to do. What do you think I should do? Will you pray about this? I just don't know, right? All of those would be justifiable responses to somebody stealing all of your superpowers. So next, we're going to see how Ryder handles it.
Ryder! 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 Sky's gone! She took the crystals!
Huh? What? Sky, this is Ryder! Come in! Sky, this is Ryder! Do you read me? The computer found the missing crystal. She must have gone after it.
Oh no.
Come on, pups. Sky needs our help.
How are we supposed to help Sky if we don't have our superpowers?
Looks like we're doing this the old-fashioned way.
Then I'm coming with you.
Ryder nailed it. He said, "Come on, pups, Sky needs our help. It was a non-event in the movie. Ryder runs towards Sky with love and compassion, just like the father of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, it says, "So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Do you think the prodigal son felt loved when he saw his father run to him and embrace him? Yeah, right? Coming home, embarrassed, ashamed, hurt, and to see your parent running towards you and hugging you, it's incredible. One of the reasons this scene just stood out to me so much is that I felt like in the real world, you wouldn't have just glossed over that and moved on. It would have been a much bigger deal. And I don't think that naturally we would respond by letting it go. But in terms of taking care of others and interacting with others, there are a lot of verses in the Bible about how we should interact with others. And I feel like they all boil down to love. In John 15, verses 9 to 12, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Jesus gives us a lot of commands about taking care, about loving others. He tells us to love one another, to love each other as Jesus loved us, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And then it's more than just love. He gives us a lot of commands about how we should treat others. We should treat others the way we like to be treated, to be merciful. Do not judge, do not condemn, forgive others. Do good to those who hate us. Bless those who curse us. Pray for those who treat us badly. Let your light shine before all people. It all boils down to love, and yet so often that's not our gut reaction. That's not our instinctive reaction. And yet that is what we're commanded to do. So we've seen that Ryder and the pups have decided to love Sky unconditionally. They're not upset or angry or devastated that they now need to go save her without superpowers. And we see that they are going to put their love for her into action. So in the next clip, you'll see that the team of pups have actually recovered one crystal. So they now have one crystal to share between seven pups. And we're going to see what they do with that.
Sky! Sky! Where are you? Zuma? Oh, it's good to see you. Time to bust out of here. Power paws.
Oh, I don't think so.
Ah!
thinking fantastic!
Liberty? Can you please get us out of here?
No problem.
Nice catch, Liberty.
I've been trying to be more flexible, but this is ridiculous. All right, puppies, playtime's over. Give me back that crystal!
Zuma!
That one's just fun to watch. Skye had lost all the crystals, and she was being held captive. Do you think that she felt loved when she saw Zuma walk into that room? Yeah. I definitely think she felt loved. And I love that the pups show up with what they have, and they make it work. When I was outlining my sermon, I was bouncing some ideas off James, and we got to this point in the sermon, and he kept saying to me, like, and what are you going to do right there? And I was like, I know what you're doing. This is where the engineer would say, here are four steps to responding in love to other people. Take a deep breath, pray, pick up your robes when you run, and bring all the crystals you have. But I don't really work like that. I am the liberal arts major in our house, and I am not the planner. And when I watched this movie, I didn't feel like I got a prescriptive four steps on here's what you are supposed to do. I felt truly challenged that nobody was upset that Skye stole the crystals, that they just moved on with love for her and helping her out of a tough situation. And so instead of four steps, what I have is a challenge. How can you love big? How can you love loud? There's a book I read last year called Everybody Always by Bob Goff. And the title of the book comes from the idea that when the author tried to summarize who Jesus calls us to love, the answer is everybody, always. And throughout the book, he tells stories about becoming love, becoming more Christ-like in a world full of setbacks and difficult. He tells a story about a friend of his who's a well-known Christian who was getting a lot of positive publicity for some work he had done. And then that friend had a rather wild meltdown, public meltdown that was caught on camera and ruined the friend's reputation. And the friend had to spend a lot of time rebuilding it. But Bob Goff stayed friends with him the whole time as they worked through that and has done public speaking events with this friend where they talk about failure and how to recover when you've messed up big in front of others. And so I want to read a passage from the book. Bob writes, "It's usually not the failure that takes any of us out. It's the bounce. We've all hit the ground hard at work or in a relationship or with a big ambition, whether we had a big public failure or an even bigger private one. The initial failure won't crush our spirit or stop our faith. It's the second hit that does. The second hit is what follows when things go massively wrong or we fail big. And the people we thought would rush to us create distance instead. They express disapproval or treat us with polite indifference. If we want to be like Jesus, here is our simple and courageous job. Catch people on the bounce. When they mess up, reach out to them with love and acceptance the way Jesus did. When they hit hard, run to them with your arms wide open to hug them even harder. God wants us to be with them when they mess up, and he wants us to participate." Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." We sang earlier about the never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love of God that chases us down, right? So how can we be that love? How can we run to others? Not just love for Christians or love for neighbors, love for our enemies, love for notorious sinners, love for people that the church doesn't like, love for people who have messed up big in front of others and feel embarrassed. I'm going to invite the band up. I think I'm doing okay. I'm going to invite them up while I close with a few more points. This idea of putting our love into action for others, I am not good at this. Actually, I like to spend a lot of my time thinking about how important this is. And I also spend a lot of my time thinking about how important it is for those other people over there to put their love into action, and less time doing it on my own. But since reading that book, I've been kind of slowly changing what I think it looks like to love others and how I want my reputation to be cultivated. Maybe it's okay to get walked over sometimes if it means I'm choosing to be kind. Maybe it's okay to share a meal with notorious sinners. Maybe it's okay to be known for offering too much grace. Maybe it's okay to be known for running down the road with your robe flapping behind you as you run to hug others. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are how God demonstrates his unconditional love for people through our actions. And that's incredibly convicting and humbling. So instead of four steps, my challenge for you is just, how can we love big and bold? How can we better love everybody always? Okay. With that, I will turn it over. Thanks.
Stand as we offer our praise.
Thank you. Good morning, New Hope. I'm Dave Gray. I'm one of the elders here. We're going to wrap up in prayer in just a minute, but I did have a couple of kind of important announcements. In 2 weeks, Kevin announced the kind of our fall launch. It's going to be fun. We bring a bathing suit. There's going to be a water slide. Bring a camp chair because it's going to be outside. So the service will be inside. It's going to be intimate. We're going to pack in, and then we're going to go outside and have a blast. And the bouncy houses are great, and the food is going to be great. But most importantly, next week is going to be a baptism service. Woo! Yes? It is one of the greatest things that we get to celebrate with our brothers and sisters. So we do have one or two individuals already that will be getting baptized, but we believe in open baptism. And for us, baptism is a public proclamation of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through the atoning blood that he shed for us through his death and resurrection. So if that's something that you are interested in, you can see myself. You can see Ron is another elder. And then Matt Houghton or Pastor Matt, you can see any one of us, and we can kind of walk through what that looks like and what that entails. So that is in 2 weeks, the 8th. Again, it's going to be a blast, and we're going to have fun as a family, but then we get to rejoice as a family as some people get baptized. Also, there is one more week of Faith on Film. Because of the way that the fall launch landed, we actually added one in kind of in the middle. So Matt is going to be doing Nacho Libre. I just hope he doesn't dress like him. Yeah, so, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Sorry to kind of interrupt up the vibe, but let me pray for you, and we'll send you on your way. Darren and Fowler, thank you so much for these dear brothers and sisters, Lord, for the visitors that we have in the room, for the neighbors and community members that have joined us to just meet with you this morning. Lord, we dedicate this day and this week to you. Pray, Lord, that you would remind them always that you walk with them, that you would put people around them that would point them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.